Am I coming through? Good. I see Simon raises his thumb. Thank you. Well, great to see you all this morning. Great to know who you are as well, with all your name badges on. Do you just love this time of year? Look, you know, the daffodils are out. It's things are coming into blossom. The trees, absolutely beautiful. Fantastic. I just love this time of year, because it's sort of new life, and the bare trees are beginning to show their leaves again. Our wisteria on our over our front door looks like there's going to be quite a lot of blossoms on it this year, or rakims, whatever you call them. It's just wonderful. And seeing these daffodils just reminds me of an incident that when I was way back, I was in college. I was in college in Birmingham around the times of the Birmingham pub bombings, which have been in the news lately. I survived the Birmingham pub bombings, evidently. I wasn't in the pubs at the time anyway. But a guy I knew at the college, we were all training to be teachers, he decided that he was going to attempt to make some onion bargees. So he got his onions, he chopped them all up, he got the old gram flour and he mixed it all in, and he started to deep fry them and all the rest of it. And he was really keen on these onion bargees, because, you know, Birmingham is the centre of Indian food. It is absolutely wonderful place for if you like Indian food. And he made these onion bargees and he ate them. And after an hour or two, he started to feel a bit ill. He was in the common room, and he was in the evening, and he started to, oh, my stomach. And he was started to complain and moan, and honestly, it was in a bad way. And it turned out that he had not used onions. He'd used daffodil bulbs in his onion bargee. Now, I don't recommend anybody eats any part of a daffodil. Apparently, they are toxic. And he'd used daffodil bulbs, because they looked just like onions. He chopped them all up, made his bargees, and he was, oh, my stomach! And I was one of the few people who actually had a car. So I got out my Morris Minor, and I took him up to Birmingham General Hospital. And so he went in, and he was, all the way the journey, oh, my stomach! And he was getting worse and worse. Oh, I can't bear it! And I was getting him there, and I got him in there. I got him into A&E, and they took him in. And so I hung around, and the doctor came out and said, I'm just inquiring about my friend Sardal. What's happening? What's happening with him? Oh, he said, we've had to pump his stomach. I said, is he going to be all right, though? Is he going to be all right? He said, yeah, he'll be out in the spring. What has that got to do with what we're doing today? Absolutely nothing. But anyway, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is where the theme for our year is coming from. And it comes from these verses in Matthew, where Jesus asks his disciples, who do men say I am? Peter, as always, you know, who do you say I am? Peter, as always, is the first to answer. And he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, yes, you, that's brilliant, Peter. That could only have come from you and God in heaven and your communication with him. That's brilliant. And then Jesus then goes on to say, you are Peter. And the name Cephas is also kind of very close to the word for rock. You are Peter, the rock. And on this rock I will build my church. Now, this is where denominations differ. And the Roman Catholic Church believe that Peter was the first pope, and it's on the pope that the church is built. We don't take that view. Well, I don't. And I believe that on Jesus is the church built, on this rock. And this is where we are taking our theme for the year from. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so we're starting off looking at some names for Jesus, and there are loads and loads and loads of names attributed to Jesus. And each one of them brings out something of the character of Jesus. Because let's face it, we are not following a religion. We're not a religious people. We're following a person. We're following Jesus. It's not about rituals. It's not about repetition. It's not about reading out of a prayer book. It's about Jesus. That's why we're here. And Peter got it. And so the first attribute of Jesus, the first name of Jesus, is Jesus the Rock. And in 1 Corinthians, it says, it talks about the forefathers and the people who went before. They drank from the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. It's supposed to be red, but you can't actually make it slight. It's supposed to make it more distinct, but it actually makes it less distinct. Okay, sorry about that. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. And this goes back to the account in Scripture of when the Israelites were leaving Egypt and heading for the land of Canaan. And they'd come out of Egypt where they were slaves, where they were commanded to make bricks, and they weren't given the materials to make the bricks. Bricks without straw. And they were told, and they were enslaved, they were eventually in a shocking state. And Moses went to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go," and he didn't want to do it, and so the plagues came. And eventually, when it came to the very, you know, the most extreme of all, the killing of the firstborn sons. And when Pharaoh's own son died, and he said, "Okay, you can go, just go, get out of it." And the Israelites all left, and they went, and they were delivered through the Red Sea, and then they were off in the wilderness. And then they started moaning, and they started complaining. "We haven't got any water. We'd have been better off back. There aren't any pomegranates here or figs in the wilderness. It's miserable. We've got nothing worthwhile at all. We can't even get a drink. What are you going to do about it, Moses?" And Moses went to the Lord and he said, "You know, these people need to drink." And God commanded him to hit the rock with Aaron's rod, and the water started to come out. And the water came out of the rock, and it was enough to satisfy the thirst of all the Israelites and all their animals as well. And that is what this is referring to. That passage there is referring to Jesus, the rock, who gives forth what we need for our daily lives. In the wilderness, the people moaned and complained, and they got it. They got what they needed. And of course, the second time we read about it, on another occasion, they were moaning again because there was no water. And, you know, we've got to watch as a people that we aren't just a bunch of moaning minis. We aren't a bunch of people who just complain and moan when things don't go the way we like them. When things aren't exactly to our own preference, we start to whine and whinge and moan. And God doesn't want a people who are the moaners. Yes, we can go to God. We can ask him for things. And things often are tricky. Things are difficult. But, you know, this ingrained moaning that the Israelites gave, and again, they did it to Moses. They knew that God could provide, and yet they went to him again. And this time, Moses really lost it. He really lost it this time. And he basically started to take the credit for giving you, "I've got to give you water yet again from the rock." And he started bashing it twice. And God said to him, just speak to the rock. And there's a lesson for us, anybody who's in any leadership position. We shouldn't lose it. We should be patient, because God is patient with us. Anyway, this is what we're talking about here. The water that comes out of Jesus the rock. What we really need for our spiritual survival day by day. You cannot exist without water for any length of time. And it's the same with Jesus. We can't exist without what he gives us. The spiritual refreshment that he gives us. The very water of life, his Holy Spirit, the thing which keeps us going as Christians. So that's where in Corinthians, where it says Jesus is the rock, and that's where the water is coming from. But then there's the other rock. We're talking about the parable that Jesus gave at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And he talks about the wise and foolish builders. We all know the story. Do you know the
wise man built his house upon...
Do you know it? Would you like to sing it? No, of course you wouldn't. Well, I can remember that when we used to sing it, when I was in a group here at church called Campaigners, and we used to sing it on a Monday night, I think we had it. And we always used to, when it got to the bit where, and the house on the sand fell flat, the wise man built on the rock, his house stays firm. We used to get ourselves here so that when we could make the most, we didn't have carpet on it at the time, it's just wood under there, and we would all jump on this baptistry. I'm so very surprised that we didn't actually go through. But Jesus said about the people who build their lives on Jesus, their house will stay firm. And the people who build their lives on anything else, the sand, it might look pretty good to start with. It might look identical. The life might look wonderful. But if you're building on sand, pretty soon there'll be a storm in your life and that sand will be washed away. And you will have no foundations and your house will collapse. And it just reminds me of our own experience, Julie and mine. When we came back, we'd been away on holiday for a number of weeks. We'd gone on a Euro camp. We'd gone around Europe. We'd been all over the place. You know, Austria and Italy and France and Belgium and Luxembourg and Germany. And we'd been all over the place anyway. And we got back to our house where we still live, and we just walked in the door, and I went up to the kitchen door and I pulled on it and I couldn't open it. So I thought, this is odd. There's no lock on the door. Now, I'll explain, our house had at some point by the previous occupiers a kitchen extension built onto it. And a new door was put through so he could get into the kitchen. I couldn't open it. Anyway, eventually, with all my might, I pulled on this door and it flung open. And as I walked down, I just sort of looked, and I could see daylight where the kitchen, the single-story kitchen extension which had been put on the house, had pulled away from the house. And on phoning up the previous occupier of the house, he said, well, we built it on a raft. That was what we were told to do. We built this house on a raft. And of course, what happens with a raft, it sort of sails away. So the kitchen was built on basically a concrete slab, which was laid on the ground. And with trees, with drying out of the clay, because around here, much of the earth here is clay, isn't it? So it baked hard and it shrinks. The kitchen had tipped and pulled away from the house, and the house was tipping and pulling the other way. And after a long story, they decided that there was what they could do for us, the insurance company, was they could... This is the story. I should have put that up, shouldn't I? It talks about the... We all know the story, don't we? We'll read it anyway. Let's just read... No, I can't read that. Anyway, we move on. They decided... I'm not being rude here, but they put piles into a, and I do sympathise with anybody, but we have got, they put piles, they knocked down the old kitchen and they sank piles, not hemorrhoids, they sank piles into the earth between 12 and 15 metres deep. So you're talking about 40 feet
below the ground. Because we don't have rock to build on, we do have clay. The only way they could make sure that this new building could stay firm was to sink piles. They drill holes about this size into the ground. They put a reinforcement in, pour concrete down onto that. But if you think 40 feet, it's a lot taller underground than it is above ground, because foundations are important. And Jesus said, if you build your house on the rock, and I'm the rock, if you build your house on me, whatever storms come along, whatever floods come through, whatever happens, whatever ground tremors there are, if you're on the rock, if you're built on the rock, you're listening to my teaching, you're receiving the water that comes out of the rock as well, then you will be steadfast and you will stay firm. And you won't be able, to all intents and purposes, a Christian who's building their life on the rock of Jesus, who's getting that refreshment and that, you know, that sustaining force from the water of Jesus, we don't appear any different. But what happens is we have got a Saviour who's living in us, who can see us through the hard times. And that is when our faith comes into its own. I'd rather go through hard times with Jesus than without him. Wouldn't you? Jesus the rock. You see, we get a lot of people who say that Jesus, I agree with Jesus. He was a great teacher, wonderful philosopher. His philosophies, his teachings, fantastic. But when he said he was God, nah, he wasn't. He wasn't. But I think he was a great teacher. People will say that. But it was C.S. Lewis, that great author, that great Christian author, who said, that's not a possibility. Jesus cannot be a good teacher, a good man, a wonderful philosopher. He can't be that. There's only three possibilities with Jesus that there can be. They called it the Lewis trilemma. Jesus is either a lunatic, or he's a liar, or he's Lord. Just think about it. You think about the things that Jesus did and said and went through. He cannot possibly just be a good man, a good teacher, because first of all, if he's not telling the truth, how many people claim to be God? There are a few crackpots don't they? Without mentioning any names. Some crackpots claim to be God, and we know they're lying. We know they're talking nonsense. And he would have to be a lunatic to still cling to the fact that he was God, and he was going to help people, he was going to perform miracles, and he was going to be put to death for it. He would have to be a lunatic if he was a load of nonsense. Because he was tortured, he was whipped, he was hung on the cross. You don't do things like that if it's all a bit of a hoax. So he's either mad or he's bad. Because look, he's hoodwinked a lot of people in his time, hasn't he? He's sent a lot of people to their graves as well. Because he founded this movement, this Christianity stuff that's going on all over the world, and it's all based on a lie. And a lot of people are suffering for it. Well, he's very bad. He's a very bad person if he did that. The only alternative we can actually come to is that he is who he says he is. He is Lord. He is God. That's the only option. He can't be a good man because he's not. As a good man wouldn't send people to their death. He can't be a sane man because he wouldn't go to the cross himself. He has to be Lord. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the character of Jesus. Jesus is Lord, he is God, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because he is like a rock. He is the rock that this church is built upon. And what he longs for is people, a people who will put their trust in him and who will build their lives on the solid rock, on the solid ground. And you know, we sing songs, ascribe greatness to our God, the rock, and rock of ages cleft for me. Rock, Jesus is that rock. He's the rock that the water of life flows from. But he's the rock which is completely trustworthy, solid, unchanging, dependable. In this world where things, we don't know where we are. We just had that this time of silence, the time of prayer. You know, it's a time of total uncertainty. But in Jesus, you can have complete and utter certainty. Complete faith that he is who he says he is. And his rock, the rock of Jesus, is the one on whom we can build our lives. And it will give us that stability that will see us through the hard times, the good times, the tough times, the shocking, terrible times. But God is there with us. There's a chorus we used to sing years ago, which I wonder if we could have it up. It's called In Times Like These. I wonder if we could just sit and just reflect on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not on the PowerPoint, it's back on Easy Slides. In times like these, is it there? Yeah, thank you very much.